Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to stick real close to my notes this morning. I want to be very clear this morning. I have a message here that I was going to just put off for a little while, but actually the truth of the matter is it was probably prepared. I should say it was in preparation, I should say, when I was at Bible college. Several years ago, Brother Hiles preached a message from this particular passage, and I'm going to read one verse in just a moment. But I do believe that the truth, and it's not going to be Brother Hiles' message per se. I mean, there's some thoughts there that, just like you do, I think when you get under the sound of preaching, you might pull a few thoughts and different things, but there's a truth out of here that really changed my life as a college student. And he preached it. He actually taught it, if you will, to a certain degree, to a bunch of us, all the college or the preacher boys. And now I know why. I understand it even better now why it is that he preached this particular thought and he taught this particular thought. And just to kind of get into it for just a moment, it's going to deal with, in just a moment, you won't see it per se when we read the verse, but I'll get to the truth here, the truth I want you to see here out of this verse, but life is a series of relationships, and this message is going to deal with relationships. And I understand as a senior pastor, very much that obviously life is a series of relationships, and much of my counseling, it deals with strained or hurting relationships. Now, some relationships, let me just say this. If everybody would just give ear to this simple truth, a very simple truth this morning. I'm not going to be very bombastic, I don't think, this morning, but I think I can help you. And I do think that I can go ahead and I can help your relationships. If your relationships that you know of, I'm talking about your marriage and church and everything, relationships in your world is good, then this is going to help make them better, I believe. But if you've got some strained relationships this morning, or just beginning to have some strained, it's early stages of some strained relationships, if you will, I think I can help you. I know I can help you. And I hope that you'll give ear to the advice, if anything, of this very, it's a very simple truth. Again, it's very more of a pastoral type message. I wasn't going to preach it, but the Lord just kept on bringing me back to this particular thought. This week, as I was, I was traveling back on Tuesday, starting by myself, and, I pull over, and, from time to time, obviously, it's about 16, 17-hour drive, I'd start, pull over, read the Bible, get some soda or some drink or so forth, a little bit, just to kind of refresh myself, and read a little bit of the Word of God, then move on again, and I happened to open up to this particular passage, and it was underlined. And I know why it was underlined, because it was just a thought that I reverted way back to my college years. And again, more than anything, as your pastor this morning, I'm not looking to preach a great message this morning, but I hope it's a helpful one. But I'm going to need you to help, really listen carefully this morning. Matthew chapter 13. Let's stand. We're going to read one verse together. I want to get right into it. I'm going to get right to the leave out the cob, if you will, get to the corn this morning. This could be a two-week type of message, I suppose, but I don't want to really make it that way because I got other things I want to preach on coming down the pike here. But let's just read together verse number 34 of Matthew chapter 13, verse number 34 together. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Let's read it again together. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Our Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, and you know in my heart this morning, God, more than anything, I want to help my dear people, Lord, and I thank you for the privilege to pastor these people, Lord. I thank you for the relationships that are built within this church and marriages and even the relationships outside this church, Lord. Very important, but I pray, dear God, that we can maybe help our relationships. I pray, God, that you would help relationships this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned a moment ago, I'm going to put a finger on what I think can help all your relationships. And I want you to follow me real closely. I think I could help your marriage. I know I can help your marriage if you would give ear to this. I could help your broken relationships or maybe your friendships, and maybe there's some strain between a good friend of yours and or whatever because of something or whatever. I think I can help you there or other relationships. This message I know will help in this area of divorce. Sometimes it's so divorce is so rampant today. And by the way, I'm not mad at you if you're under my voice, sitting under my voice, and your divorce is, well, I'm not mad at you this morning, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's just the way it is. Let's move on with life. But you married couples, I want to help you, and I do believe this truth will help you. I think this message will give a main cause for church problems and church splits and other problems that may struggle concerning relationships within the church. Everywhere you look, there are people. There are people that have different personalities. There are people that will look at, that will have a different outlook, if you will, on life. There are people that will look, have a different outlook, if you will, on situations. God made everyone with a unique personality, and that's not a bad thing. Okay, when you think about it, you know what? You really, maybe your pride says, I want everybody to think like me and be like me. No, we really don't. But God has given us all unique personalities. But sometimes our personalities clash. Sometimes there's problems or there may be a little bit of disagreement, if you will, as a result of our personalities. And I wonder if there's someone here this morning whom you can think of that maybe there's a good there was a good relationship that you once had with somebody, but there's some strain. I wonder if there's somebody under the sound of my voice this morning, you're thinking of somebody, man, you know what, because of you, maybe you focus on some negatives, and maybe it's some their fault, whatever the case may be, but maybe there is a good relationship that has been split, if you will, because of a clash. Maybe because of looking at a situation a little bit differently than they did. Maybe there's a strained marriage here, and I hope there isn't, but maybe there's a strained marriage here this morning, and I know, again, I can help you. Maybe there's a little bit of strain between parents and children. If you'd give ear this morning, I believe I can help you. Again, most of my counseling deals, a lot of it deals with relationships, and depending on the nature of that relationship, sometimes it takes a little bit more to try to help it. But sometimes it just takes a simple little bit of advice like this that can go ahead and bring a relationship back together. Maybe an attitude in some relationship of, I'm better than they are, or I am right, you know, kind of crept in your life. And that has kind of put up a wall between some relationship in your life. And as a result, maybe there's strain and there's brokenness in that relationship. Yes, preacher, where are you going? I'm going right here. In Matthew 13, chapter 13, verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. The which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Here's a treasure. The Bible says it's found in a field. You know, I've worked on a farm course. I know what field work's all about. I know what it's like to throw hay in 90-100 degree weather. I know what it's like to make hay, if you will. I know what it's like to work in a cornfield. I know what it's like to work in a potato field. But for a field to become productive, I understand this. Everybody who knows a little bit of farming, if you grow vegetables in your garden, you know you got to go ahead and pull out the rocks, and you got to pull out the weeds if that field is going to be productive. But here in our text, a man or a lady, but a man talks about one who's searching for treasure. He finds a treasure and then says, I found that treasure in that field. So what does he do? The Bible says he goes, he sells all that he has so that he can buy that field. He found a treasure. He got excited about that treasure. So he sells everything that he hath out of excitement, out of joy, and he buys that field. Now that he buys a field, he's looking for more treasure, obviously. He's found treasure. He's looking for more. He sold all that he has because he wants that field. He thinks there's going to be more treasure there. But there's some things, as he starts digging, if you will, there's some things that he didn't expect in that field. There's some things that maybe the landowner did not quite tell him, if you will, about that field. As he digs and so forth, that field that he's excited about, that field that he sold everything for, as he starts digging, he finds that there's some weeds. As he starts digging, he finds that that all through that field, there's some rocks laying there. He maybe finds some alders or some spiders. He maybe finds some little saplings. Also in the field that he sold all for, there are things, maybe ants crawling around and other little creepy crawly things. There are some mice perhaps scurrying around, maybe a few rats, maybe some woodchucks, maybe a skunk or a raccoon or two, and maybe a snake. And at that time, I'd be a running, amen? But there may be a few grass snakes in there mingled in that field as he's digging. Now bear in mind that there is a treasure somewhere down in that field that he bought, but he didn't realize. He knew there was treasure there. He saw some treasure. He says, man, I'm going to sell everything that I have because I want what's in there. I think there's more there. But he didn't expect some things. He didn't expect the creepy, crawly critters. He did not realize there might be some trash, if you will, scattered in the field. He didn't realize that there might be some snakes crawling around. He didn't realize that maybe there's a few lizards, I don't know, crawling around, or some poison ivy, or a dead tree, or saplings had taken root in that field. He sold all because he wanted the treasure in that field. He sacrificed everything for that field. He found some treasure there. That's why he wanted to buy it, because he wanted more. Now follow me real closely. Now here's this guy. Suppose this man, as he starts digging to seek his treasure, and unbeknownst to him, he's digging up these things he didn't expect. He sees that lizard maybe scamper by him, run by him. He sees the poison ivy. He bought this field. He owns it all now. It's his. He maybe sniffs a little bit, and there's a skunk around. He sees maybe a pile of garbage over in the corner of the field or all scattered through the field. He sees the rats eating from the garbage, perhaps. Maybe a mouse. What does he do? Now that he's kind of into this thing, he sold everything, what's he going to do? There's a decision here. Does he disgustedly forsake the treasure that's found in that field? Does he go ahead and go back to the previous landowner and say, I want my money back. I did not get what I bargained for. Does he cast the field aside and say it's junk because all he views is the negative in that field? Does he forsake the treasure in that field and go over to another field to look for treasure? The guy bought this field. Along with this field, he bought the poison ivy, he bought the rocks, the snakes wiggling around. I tell you, you know, I just park here again. You know, about the time I see a snake, I'm just not sticking around. You know, I don't mind other creepy, crawly things, but there's just something about a snake. Amen. Someone say amen to that. Men, help me out a little bit. I know some of you, you know, you're being manly right now. You know, I know some of you men, you don't like them either. You can just say amen, 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 but snakes. But he sees all the negatives. So what does he do with the field? A decision to make. Does he go ahead and cast it aside, say, nope? Does he go ahead and create a bad relationship with a previous landowner and say, I want my money back? See, you'll not find here, you know, maybe he was looking for this treasure, but here you're not going to find the treasure in a museum. It's in the field. You're not going to find the treasure necessarily in a bank. It's in the field. To get to that treasure, listen to me closely. To get to that treasure, you may have to go ahead and bypass, if you will, the smell of a skunk. You may have to go ahead and maybe get stung by a bee or two in the midst of getting that treasure. You may have to gladly take a shovel to a snake that slithers by you and kill the thing. You may have to go ahead and put some poison or whatever to go ahead and kill the poison ivy. You may have to stumble over some garbage. Oftentimes, we run from the field simply because we look at all the negatives. But we stop looking for the reason why we bought the field. Why we bought into the field, if you will. Simply because we did not think it would be this way. It's not what we expected. I expected this relationship, or I expected this to be easy. I expected my Christian life to be easier than this. So this morning, I want to just go ahead and put a finger on a few relationships, some treasures that I think are great relationships that all of us may have right now, all of us will have, or some of us will have in the future, but they're precious, precious relationships. And I'm going to liken it to the field, if you will. And I'm going to liken them relationships to a treasure. So what are some of these treasures? Number one, a friend. Again, I'm going to be very simple this morning. I'm going to be very practical and more advice to you. Because more than anything, I think for such a time as this, we need something like this. But we need, some of the treasures we have is a friend. What a treasure. We become close to a certain friend or a godly friend, and I think your friends, let me just stop and say this about friendship, it ought to be someone that's taken you the right way. Okay, we ought not be rubbing shoulders and befriending our, making our whole life around the ungodly, if you will. But we ought to be building our friendships with saved people and so forth. That'd be very, very important. But nonetheless, you get close to a friend. You become in awe with that friend. Boy, and he or she becomes such a good friend. You can go ahead and pour your heart out to him or her. Him or her can go ahead and pour your heart out to you. The friend maybe seems to a certain degree faultless. They seem very caring. They're interested in you. Maybe you text back and forth. Nowadays, a lot of texting back and forth. You maybe call each other, and a good friend says, "Hey, I'm praying for you." You pray for each other, and there's some spiritual needs that you can go ahead and get from your friend. He or she helps bear your burdens. But after a while, as you grow closer to that new friend, you see some things. You see some things that you did not expect. It might be a weed that all of a sudden pops up. It might be a few other negatives, and you become shocked that your friend might have a couple negatives. That your friend might have maybe a weed or two, if you will. So what happens, you get surprised by it. What happens, you start dwelling on the negative, you become disappointed that your friend is not perfect, and you will not find anybody perfect this side of heaven, amen? But you become disappointed or discouraged because your friend, if you will, has some weeds, there's some rocks that need to be picked out, if you will, but nonetheless, he or she is a good friend, nonetheless, they have prayed for you, nonetheless, you have grown close together, you've built many memories, but all of a sudden, something pops up, says, "No, they're not my friend anymore." You start casting them away, start pushing them aside. All friends have weeds. All friends, you're going to find some things there that you'll be surprised at and so forth. And just as they're growing in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, you too need to be growing in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior. You know, we as Christians could get along a whole lot better if we go ahead and look on the positives of some people in your life instead of just dwelling on the negatives. That's what we do. That's what we do. We zoom right in on the negative. As a result, you hurt your friendship. So you back off from him or her. You get mad at him or her. You won't speak to them anymore in church or whatever the case may be. And it causes them to scratch your head. What happened to our friendship and so on? They try to get a hold of you and whatever the case may be. And your friendship, if you will, has gone ahead and become very strained. But let me just say this, friend. Did it ever occur to you that you have a field too? Did it ever occur to you that your friend that you grew close to and they grew close to you, maybe they saw your field too, but you know what? They were perhaps spiritual enough to go ahead and they're trying to maybe help you with your field as you should be trying to help them. But did it ever occur to you that you have a field too and maybe they found it, but they didn't forsake you? He didn't turn on you. He didn't stop hanging with you. He or she took a biblical perspective or a biblical approach and kept loving you and kept trying to work with you and as you should be trying to work with them. So you seek a new friend. You seek another. And then when you find out that, well, that friend has weeds, then you go to another. And then it won't be long. You know, just good advice. Don't get too close to that next friend because you're going to find weeds again. Then you go to another, and then you wonder, why is it that I'm friendless? You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, a man who has friends must show himself friendly. Amen. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother in Proverbs 18:24. But let me just say this. We're all humans. We all have some negatives. We all may have a few weeds and maybe a little poison ivy, if you will, in our fields. But we ought not be too hard on anybody, because we too have some negatives. Another relationship. You find a church. You know, what a treasure a church is. I say that again, what a treasure a church is. I am glad that I'm not only a pastor, but I've been involved in an independent Bible-believing Baptist church for a long time. I don't know anything other than what we do here. I'm not viewing any other new Bible or any other new, I'm not looking for ecumenicalism and let's, you know, whatever. But I'm glad that I am part of a church family like this. But you find a church. You know, let me just stop and say this. You know, my dad taught me a lot about church as a kid. You know, I got thinking about it as I was putting this message together here. You know, in 1980, you know, we had a few churches growing up in my early years, but in 1980, he helped establish and found a church, if you will. He was one of the charter members of a good independent Bible-believing Baptist church, 1980. And that church is still solid today, and he's still a member of that church. 31 years. He helped build it. My dad's a contractor, and, you know, he helped build it. But you know what? I remember my dad saying, and this was even way before I even ever was taught something what I'm teaching and preaching this morning. But, you know, and I've heard it said from great preachers. But I remember him saying as a kid, you know what? You'll never find a perfect church. When you do find a perfect church, you may as well get out of it because it won't be perfect anymore. My dad used to say that. And I heard great, I know, and I said, man, he must have heard Dr. Tom Malone, because I know Dr. Tom Malone said that a lot too. Great preacher. But the truth of the matter is, you find a church, what a treasure it is. I'm glad, that, again, for my heritage of my dad just sticking with the stuff and sticking with a church. You know, and by the way, let me just say this. If there's doctrine, okay, if there's doctrinal issues, you know, then it's time to quietly maybe set aside and so forth. You don't need to go ahead and disrupt that church. You don't need to use your tongue to lash out at that church. That's wrong, and that's not right at all. But the truth of the matter is, you can very quietly, if you will, leave, and if you don't feel it's doctrinal and so forth, and then you know, you may not want to recommend others to go there and so forth, but you don't need to, by the way, hurt that church. You know what? God will take care of that church. God has the power to go ahead and clean that clock. If that church isn't right, you don't have to go ahead and clean the clock of that church. God will take care of that. You know, if we ever get off base here, you know what? I better get out of the way, because God will take care of that. We want to have our own say and so forth. But anyways, let's get back to the church. It may have been a church that has reached you. Maybe this church, if you will. It may have been a soul winner from this church that won you to Christ. It may have been this church that you chose under leadership of the Holy Spirit, and that's a good way to choose a church, if you will, under leadership of the Holy Spirit, you want to be part of this church family, if you will. I'm going to talk about this church a minute, because this is the church I pastor right now. But it may be under the leadership of the Holy Spirit that this way you know that you belong, but you maybe see some weeds along the way. By the way, we didn't twist your arm to come here. Okay? No preacher that I know of that has any grit or anything about them, if you will, doesn't go out there and just twist your arm. Hey, you become members of this church. No. It ought to be God's will. You ought to find out what it is for God's will in your life, but where you ought to go. But it may have been a soul winner from this church that reached you. May you remember the first time, perhaps, when you came to the church, you saw the Spirit. You saw the joy in the people. You were excited because the young people were even excited. You may have seen the altars filled and people with people at invitation time, and there are people crying and people getting things right with God and people getting saved. And you see teenagers grow in the Lord and surrender full time to Christian service, like we have some here. I had the privilege of taking a couple out to college this week who have just surrendered their life to the Lord. And by the way, not every teenager has to do that. We just want every young person to go ahead and find the will of God for their life. Amen. That's what we teach them here. But if they want to serve God, then boy, I'm going to do everything they can to serve God. If they feel like they want to go into some other area of career and so forth, I want them to go ahead and be a success in that career and keep Jesus focused, number one in their life, and have success in that career. But you've seen the excitement of the young people. You see little boys and girls all dressed up on a sunny morning. They're happy and they're excited about their junior church programs. And they show up on Sunday morning. They memorize the scripture. You see the smiles on their faces. You see the smiles on the precious bus kids. They're a little rowdy this morning, but it's still worth it. Amen. Maybe you're part of a ministry. Maybe you led a child to Christ in Sunday school. Maybe you sing in the choir. Maybe you work as a Sunday school teacher or a nursery worker. Or maybe you're a bus worker or a soul winner. You feel the joy of serving God and reaching people and having a part in the work of God. There's nothing like that, amen? It's nothing like reaching out to someone who's hurting and trying to help their relationships because you've got a good relationship with God. You've got some wisdom about you, and you can reach out to some broken relationship and help them, and reach out to some lost soul and help them have a relationship with God. You've heard the testimonies in church of people being saved, and you see people getting people's lives getting changed, and you see the activity, you see the joyous spirit, you see families growing in the grace of God, you see families growing closer together, and you perhaps have grown yourself because of the church and because of your involvement and because your preacher gets up and preaches and admonishes you to have a walk with God each and every day. You see the choir sing. See the children sing. Hear some of our teenagers sing specials from time to time. The Lord's moved in your heart. And you said maybe at one particular time, that's exactly what I was looking for. But now in wisdom, as one that's preached for some time, pastored for some time, been in the ministry some time, who's been a Christian for several years, I'm going to say, time out, hold it. Hold it. You say, that's what I've been looking for, the spirit and the excitement and the zeal. And I just say, hold on a second. I want to warn you. I've got some news for you. We have some weeds too. I've said time and time again, Jesus is more than welcome to walk through that back door anytime and say, Sean, sit down, I'll pass at the church. Guess what? Then there'll be no weeds. And you know what? You'll find some weeds. You'll find out that the bus workers are human. They'll make some mistakes. Why? Because they have some weeds. You'll find out that the Sunday school teachers are human. They maybe make some mistakes. And again, I'm not talking about, you know, if there's moral mistakes, if there's moral sin. Obviously, we have a procedure to deal with that, obviously. But you know what? Sometimes we just go ahead and look at all the nitpicky, petty little things. And the truth of the matter is, it doesn't hurt them one bit, but it hurts you. But you find out there's some weeds. Find out that the choir members are human, they've got some weeds. You find out junior church and the leaders and the workers are human, but they've got some weeds. You find out the teenagers, they're definitely human, they've definitely got some weeds. I hang with them. And guess what? In case you didn't know it, your preacher's human. I got a few weeds too. Sometimes I may not say everything just right. Maybe I don't always show up just on time. Yeah, you get whatever. Someone gets bent out of shape. There's some weeds. There's some negatives. One time you were excited about the souls being saved. One time you saw the teenager's excitement about serving God, and that excited you. One time you'd be thrilled about those droves of boys and girls and teenagers that used to get saved. You never used to question them. You know what? God's keeping track, by the way. But however, sometimes you go ahead and question, and I don't think they really got saved. Who are you to go ahead and judge that? Amen? You know, but you used to be excited about salvation. You used to be excited about people getting saved. You used to be excited about lives being changed for the cause of Christ. You were excited about the preaching. You're excited about the Spirit of the Lord just falling down upon this place, service after service after service. And you said at one time, this is God's will for my life. But you found some weeds. You found some weeds. The children's excitement used to excite you. Boy, that, you know, it still excites me, amen? I can't keep up with them like I used to. But man, I love watching them get excited for Jesus. I love seeing our teenagers getting excited for Jesus. You used to enjoy seeing families growing in the Lord. That excited you. The preaching once excited you. But something happened. A mouse scurried through the field. Maybe you saw a dead tree. Maybe the dead tree is you. You saw a pile of garbage with a rat eating from it. Maybe someone failed to shake your hand and that bent you all out of shape. You know the surest way to make sure your hand gets shaken? Go shake somebody's hand. Oh, believe me, I've seen it all. I've seen a lot of things. Maybe not all, but I've seen a lot of things. One time, several years ago, I had a bus family I was working with, and we used to pick up, on our buses at Calvary, we used to pick up our bus adults, if you will, for Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And this was a Sunday night service. I went downtown Lewiston, picked up some adults and so forth. And this was a married couple that I was working with, discipling, different things like that. And they came to church. They had their little place. They were coming for some time and so forth. Started the service, sang and everything like that. And had our handshaking time like we do here. And I don't know if this is true. I don't think it is totally true because I know I shook their hand, but I saw them after I went up to the platform, after everybody was getting back to their seats after handshaking, they walked out. And during the next song, preacher came over to me and says, they just kind of stormed out of here. I said, I don't know, preacher. What do you want me to do? He says, go after them. They started walking. I mean, this was this time of year, it's about dark at 7:30. They were going to walk back home. I got in church van, went down, and said, what's going on? The first thing they said, nobody shook my hand. I go, what? I said, in all due respect, I said, I shook your hand. Am I a nobody? But, you know, I've seen it. You know, over such things, there's some weeds. The preacher, oh, he preached that sermon to me. No, God did. There is a work of the Holy Spirit. Preacher doesn't have time. There's not any preacher in my lifetime, this preacher is included, doesn't have time to go by the house of every member with a notepad writing down everything that goes on in your home. But you know what Holy Spirit does? I'm not getting fed. Well, you did at one time. You did come at one time with an open heart. You're probably not opening your heart to the Word of God simply because you saw weeds and then all of a sudden you got critical. You started having to say your piece. So you don't come prepared anymore with a prepared heart. You know what? If you come with a prepared heart, I promise you, you'll leave with something. There's some nugget of truth in any message, and how often I tell it. You know what? Maybe the whole message wouldn't be for you, but there's some nugget of truth. If you come with an open heart, it's there for you. It's there for you. Maybe sin's entered into your life and caused you to stop getting fed. And why don't you stop blaming the preacher? Why don't you stop blaming the church that you once said was God's will? And search your heart. Search your heart. You found a field in the church. Found out the bus worker maybe has a field. The Sunday school teacher has a field. The preacher has a field. The youth leader has a field. You turn a deaf ear. You find yourself being critical of the church and everything that God is doing in the church. And eventually what you do, you start listening to other critics. You start trusting in their words. And what you do, you turn tail and run. And let me tell you something. The old church still stands. People in the church, most of the people in the church still stand. But you know what? It affects you later on. I've seen it happen. There's weeds. You go find another one. Let me just say this. You go find another church. Let me just give you a bit of advice. Don't get involved. Don't get too close to anybody. Don't get too close to any people. Don't talk to anybody. Don't get too close to the preacher. Because guess what? You'll find a field. You'll find some weeds. And then what? There you go again. Bump, to bump, 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 bump. Oh, that's discouraging. You know what? Yeah, and I'll admit, you'll find some weeds. Find some weeds. Let me move on to the next. You found a man or a lady back years ago, back yonder, maybe back a year or two ago. What a treasure. That man or that lady caught your eye. You started hubba, hubba, hubba. You started courting each other. You're so happy. You're smiling from ear to ear. Boy, gal, or lady, I should say, you'd spend all that you had on him. You'd spend your time. You'd go ahead and you'd prep yourself. You'd put on the prettiest perfume. You put on the best clothes when you're ready to meet your man. Man, you'd go ahead and you'd even put on some cologne. You'd go ahead and send her some flowers. You'd write some notes and you'd get her favorite candy. You'd put on maybe your best clothes, if you will, and hopefully they weren't wrinkled. Amen. You made, lady, you made sure that your makeup was just right, your eyeliner, your blush. You didn't think I knew that stuff, huh? After you have a wife and three girls in the house, you begin to learn some things real quick. But everything would be just perfect. Guy, you dress just right for him, for her. You do everything just right. You'd take her out to the best places to eat if you could afford it. But at that time, you know what? You just loved being together so much that McDonald's was fine. When you think about it, everything was just fine. You get married. After all, you were perfect for each other. And after all, Lord willing, you knew it was God's will. God was in it. You're so excited about starting a new life together. She'd walk down the aisle in her pretty white dress, and you'd have your nice tux and so forth and so on. And boy, you were just all decked out. Her hair was just right. Your hair. I had hair at one time. All right? But your hair, everything was just right. Just right. And then, after your first night, you woke up and you sniffed a little bit and realized bad breath. You realized the hair was out. Really? You realized that he maybe doesn't go ahead and hang his clothes up. You realized that she might have a little bit of a temper. You realized that your knight in shining armor, you know, maybe didn't always pick up after himself. Never makes a bed. Maybe he's grumpy in the morning. Maybe you're grumpy in the morning. That lovely lady that you married may find out she wasn't always made up as she always was before. You had your first fight. Guess what you found out real soon? Talk about relationships a minute. They have a field. They have a field. See, when you were courting, you were willing to look past the field for the treasure. But after a year or two or 10 years of marriage or 20 years of marriage, you know what? You're sick of trying to look for the treasure in everything. You know, maybe your home's like World War III. You know, you're sick of seeing the mice, sick of seeing the weeds. But at one time, let me just stop and say this. He or she was your treasure. And you found out they had a field. Let me move on. You know, let me just say this. You know, husband and wife, you know, your relationship is likened to your relationship with God. As you nurture your relationship with God, you ought to be nurturing each other's relationship. Say, I love you. you know, give them a call throughout the day. Spend time with them. Have a weekly date. And I'm just on marriage for just a moment. You know what? Do the things that you did to win him or her. Why not? Well, man, I used to spend hours getting up my makeup and all that. You know what? Isn't he still worth it? Well, preacher, you don't understand. Now, I work a job now, and I come home, and I'm hungry, and, you know, but I used to, you know, make sure everything, you know, it didn't bother me when I was young, but isn't she still worth you preparing yourself for her? Yeah, look past the field and see the treasure. Churches all over America choose a leader. What a treasure it is. About 4 years ago, this church called me. As far as I'm concerned, it was the greatest decision of my life. Pastor comes in, takes over. He's exactly what they were looking for. He's a treasure. After a while, you find out your pastor has a field. He's also a human being. You find out that he gets tired. Find out he gets weary. Maybe he says something that, you know, off the cuff or whatever, or maybe he failed to shake your hand. And I'm not necessarily talking about me. I mean, I certainly have my shortcomings, but I talk about preachers all over on behalf of other preachers. You find, though, however, he has a sincere heart. You find that his desire is always to be just and right. You find that he wants to do things right, and maybe you see some things along the way that to which you disagree, but it's not a doctrinal issue. It's not the fundamental of the faith and so forth, and you love your preacher, and you love on your preacher, and you take care of the preacher, if you will. And again, I'm not complaining about anything, and I'm not necessarily talking about me, but it happens all over our nation today. Boy, they find a leader that they think was right. They believed it was right. They believed it was God's will. He didn't go off into immorality. He didn't make any weird decisions. He didn't do some weird things and so forth, but he went ahead and he just did his job. But maybe preaches a sermon that you didn't like. God did, by the way. But he does live a decent life. He does have a good family. He is an honest man. He loves the Lord. He loves the people whom God has allowed him to serve. He's a man of character, integrity. He's someone that you would have your children to follow. But don't you let your field keep you from trusting him. Don't let his field keep you from that. It amazes me that you were willing to look past the imperfection, the negatives when you first voted him, but when he preached that message, when he forgot to shake your hand, when he forgot to make that phone call, or he forgot to show up or couldn't show up because of whatever, find out he's got a field. So what do? You pull your family out. And you maybe go from one church to another, to another, to another, and as I talked about. You know, let me just say this. Happens so often in churches, again, and I could take you to churches now, and one reason why I say this, I can take you to churches that same scenarios, similar scenarios, call the preacher, but the preacher didn't last 4 years or even 10 years or 15 years because whatever, he failed to do something or whatever. It wasn't a doctrinal position or whatever, but we get all critical, get fly off the handle. We jump from church to church to church to church to church. By the way, it hurts your reputation, not theirs. Hurts you, but happens all over America. And I've certainly seen churches go ahead and fail. I mean, just literally die because of that. Because they always trying to look for the perfect man. Again, this preacher has weeds. If I may say, and I know Brother Chad pretty well, you know what, Brother Donald, your preacher has weeds too. Brother Howells, one of my heroes of the faith, has weeds. My preacher, he has weeds, Pastor Christopher. But you know, look past the field, look at the treasure. You know, I was looking at some of the men in the Bible. You know what? Moses was a great treasure. He had a field. He had a hot temper. Noah was a great treasure. He had a field. Paul was a great treasure. He had a field. He took a Jewish vow at one time. He should not have done so. Peter was a great treasure. He had a field. He was impetuous. He denied Christ. Am I going to go ahead and give up on these men? No. You know why? Because Moses, God called him the meekest man in all the earth. The greatest leader in history. Because he lost his temper once in a while, no way. He still has a treasure in his field. I'm not going to give up on him. The Apostle Paul, Peter, and others, Noah, the list goes on. You run from pastor to pastor to pastor to pastor to pastor, hoping he's perfect. But you won't find him. I'm the under-shepherd. A pastor is the under-shepherd of the church. Obviously, we ought to be men of integrity and morality and men of prayer and men of leadership and all of that. I understand that. But you do have to understand this. And I understand this. Even before I joined the ministry, my preacher has weeds. Hey, children, teenagers, quickly. You know you have a treasure in your parents. I know I do. I thank God every day for my mom and dad. I love my mom and dad. You know, kids, let me just stop and say this a moment. There's not generally Sunday morning. There's not a lot of kids up here. But you may find out that your mom has maybe a temper from time to time. Your dad may have a temper from time to time. You find out real quick as you grow up that they're not perfect. You start rebelling. That little word that just kind of frustrates every young person, no. You start rebelling. The Bible says, obey your children in the Lord. The Bible says to honor your mom and dad, respect your mom and dad. Hey there, young person, you see the field, you see the flaws. But why don't you, before you go ahead and start rebelling, and which is a sin of witchcraft, which is not right, before you start rebelling, stop giving your mom and dad a hard time, stop fussing at them and so forth, look beyond the field and look at the treasure of your mama and your daddy. If you've got a mama and daddy that pray for you, boy, that's a treasure. You got a mama and daddy that gets up on a Sunday morning, gets you to church like this, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that's a treasure. You got a mom and dad that you know they love Jesus, and they love the Lord. They read the Word of God. They pray, and they love God. Boy, that is a treasure. Quit your rebelling. One of these days, listen to me, one of these days, if you leave your home rebellious one day, one of these days you'll regret it. I've seen it time and time. People laying down, your mom and dad, one day in a casket down in front of the church. We don't like talking about it. But the truth of the matter, you leave your home rebellious, a bad relationship, and whatever the case may be, listen to me. One day, you will regret it. You walk by that casket of your mom and dad, say, man, I wish my last words wasn't some terrible words. I wish it was, I love you. Your mom and dad are a treasure. Maybe there's some relationship, and I'm just about done. Maybe there's some relationship you have fallen out with a friend. Maybe you didn't quite realize they had a field, and you got frustrated with what was in the field, and you failed to look at the treasure. Maybe there's a strained friendship. Why don't you go ahead and, why don't you be the big Christian and say, you know what, I'm going to do something about that. I'm going to go ahead and renew my friendship. I'm going to do the right thing and apologize. Maybe there's an individual here in this church, and I don't know of it or any, but maybe there's an individual here at this church. You know that there's maybe a little strain there. You walk in one side, they walk in the other. You just kind of sit there and huff and puff, and you won't look at each other because of whatever. Why don't you both be good Christians and come down after a while and get it right with God and say, you know what, let's not let this happen again. You saw a mouse in his field, you saw the weeds. Why don't you go to that person and say, I'm sorry. I want to tell you with great joy, though, about one. He has no field. He has no blemishes. He has no unkind words to say. He has no mice in his field. There's no pile of garbage. There's no rocks. There's no timbers. There's no spiders. Let me tell you about that one. His name is Jesus Christ. The same today, yesterday, and forever. He was a lamb without spot. Died on that cross for this whole world. And you can trust him. He has no field. There's no blemishes about our Savior. He's faultless. He's perfect. He's a perfect lamb. He died on the cross. He paid for your sin debt, and he'll save you if you're not saved here this morning. And you can trust him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You will find a field in Islam. You will go ahead and find some blemish Joseph Smith, the Mormons, I think it is. You'll go ahead and you'll find some blemishes in Muhammad, but you'll find no blemishes with Christ. If you're here this morning, I didn't talk a lot about it. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, that lamb that was perfect. You don't know him as Savior. He died on the cross for you so you could have eternal life, everlasting life. And you need to call upon him and be saved. If that's you this morning, we'll have someone show you from the Word of God how you could know for sure you're on your way to heaven. I think I'm talking mostly to Christians this morning. But this morning, I dealt mostly with one issue that as a pastor, I deal with most in any counseling, in any advice that I give. It's relationships. Some I got to deal with a little bit more than others because there's a little more strain. But the truth of the matter is if everyone would just give ear, just take the simple advice this morning, it would change your world. It would change your life and your relationships. There's a man found a treasure in a field. He thought there would be more treasure in that field, so he goes out, sells everything that he has. Because he wanted treasure. He wanted more. I don't think he expected the mice and the rats and the spiders, everything that he was going to have to go through. So what does he do? Cast the field aside. Forsake it. No. You got to look past the negatives. Life is a series of relationships. I didn't say much about it, but you know what? Your boss has a field. And some of you pointed out real good, yeah. Your boss has a field. You know what? Instead of going ahead and being critical of your boss, why don't you go ahead and say, God, thank you for my boss. He has enabled me. He's the one that said yes to hire me, and I can go ahead and I can support my family because of my boss. Yeah, he has a field. Guess what? He's probably seen your field too. And he has not yet fired you for your field. Amen? Mom, Dad, you said something about the children, but Mom and Dad, I didn't say much about this either, but let me just say this. Your children are a treasure. The prodigal son taught very well in the prodigal son, story of the prodigal son. You know what? He thought that his child was treasure enough that he didn't cast him aside. Found out real soon that, boy, his son had a field that he welcomed home, his son. You know what, Jesus, maybe you're here today and you're saved. You've wandered far away from God, perhaps so. Maybe you're in a backslidden state. You know your heart's not in tune with God, and God definitely sees your field. But you know what? He thinks you're a treasure. And you know what? God, just as we see it in the prodigal son, does not give up on you. If you're not right with God, maybe you're Christian, you're saved. As far as you know, you know you're saved, but maybe you're not quite in tune with God this morning. Maybe there's some relationships in your life, maybe in church, maybe a preacher. I don't know if there is, but maybe your Sunday school teacher or somebody. Maybe there's some strained relationships that you know you need to get right with God. Maybe there's someone you need to call when you get home, and you need God's grace to go ahead and help you make that call. Maybe there might be somebody in your world today that you need to go ahead and look at the field and don't look at the negatives, but zoom in on the treasure. Zoom in. All these relationships are precious treasures. But if you zoom in on the negative, that's all you're going to see. You'll be critical of them, of the church, of whoever or whatever. And you know what? You will have a miserable life. You know, listen, I'm happy today. I'm happy. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I know for sure if I die today, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm pastoring the greatest people in all the world. I'm exactly where God wants me to be. I don't regret any position that I'm in right now. I have the greatest family in the world, the most beautiful wife in all the world. Guys, amen. And yours ought to be too, amen. Amen. Come on, guys. Wow, there's a lot of marriage counseling coming in down the pike here. But listen, a treasure in the field. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. God, I really didn't want to preach this message this morning. You know my heart, but I know you wanted me to. And Lord, I pray, God, for our relationships. We all have relationships of some sort. Maybe there's some that are severed badly. And I pray, dear God, that today maybe God's people would have the courage to maybe get some relationships right. Maybe their relationship with you. It's so true that if we're not in the right relationship with people with us, we're not in the right relationship with you. I pray, dear God, that maybe some relationships would be healed and mended today. I pray, dear God, that your will would be done. But I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do a great work here today in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Not sure exactly what to ask for questions this morning, but I'm just going to, the music's going to play in just a moment. But maybe there's a severed relationship this morning. Maybe there's a relationship you need to work on. Maybe your relationship with God isn't quite right. And by the way, if you're not right with people, you will not be right with God. Maybe there's some relationships that need to be healed that you need to step out and say, you know what, I need to take care of this relationship. I need to look past the negative and look on the positive, if you will. Maybe you're not saved this morning. You know what? Your other relationships will not be right until you go ahead and get that relationship with Jesus. Have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, if God's dealing with your heart this morning, the music's going to play. Won't you go ahead and move as the music plays? Young person, how's your relationship with mom and dad? How's your relationship with your youth leaders and youth teachers? Let's be back here safely for tonight, Brother Ron.
Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for our pastor, Lord. And Lord, thank you for the weather being good that we could get out here today, Lord. And Lord, just realize this week how important church is throughout the week, Lord, by not having it this past week, Lord. I thank you for it. Thank you for your word. Thank you for preaching, Lord. We needed this message. I know I needed it, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd answer these prayer requests, Lord, for Ben, who's traveling. Lord, you'd give him a safe trip and be with him. And Lord, help him to grow close to you during his time in Japan. For Roland's friend, Ken, and for Karen's stepsister, for salvation and for healing. For Rick, for continued good news with his cancer, Lord. Lord, we all have unsaved that we know. Lord, help us to be a witness and a testimony, and you'd work on their hearts, Lord. For the military that's deployed and for their families at home. For this Pam and her daughter that's on drugs, that you'd work in that situation, Lord. For Norm's grandson and for Norm's meeting this Thursday, Lord, you'd be with Norm during that meeting, Lord. And Lord, he'd know that you were there with him, Lord. I pray for Yulia's unspoken, for her parents' health, for Pastor Kagan's wife's health, Lord. For Rich, you'd continue to work on him, get him out to church here, Lord. That's where he needs to be. Lord, for Sandy and her relationship that's going on there, Lord. And for Lord, all the troubles and concerns we have on our hearts, Lord, you would just answer those prayer requests, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you again for church. Thank you for this place. And Lord, bring us back safe tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.